being families where we serve one Lord. Let me say one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And scripture that is one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and most important, He is in Daniel. You know, that's a great responsibility. A lot of times Christians fail to realize that we know God is where? Everywhere, because He's omnipresent. Amen. So God is in every place. But we have a special place with God. Because not only is He in every place externally, but to the child of God, He goes everywhere we go internally. So it's a great responsibility, because everywhere we go, we take God. Amen. And I don't have a mess with it right now. Let's go to our thing. We'll get there a little later. All right. Amen. Can you put our theme up on the board, Sister Shire? Truly, this is not just a thing that's something that we can identify with from a distance. But not only the purchasing of the church, some of the things that God has done in some of our lives, we can identify with this. Amen. Things people said will never happen. You know, I think of a few medical miracles we have here in the midst. The doctor said, you want to be like this the rest of your life if by chance you improve a little bit. But they forgot about God. I can't ever get to the place in my life where I listen to anybody more than God. So our theme is believing against all odds. Now, some of these Sundays, I'm going to pass out the mics for those of you that have mentioned, that have memorized Luke 8, 40 through 50, and St. John 11, 40, so these four verses. So I'm going to put some people on the spot. Lord willing. Amen. Just a couple of announcements before we get started. In the future, we'll be having service on what week night instead of Friday night? What night?
Wednesday night
service starts at? See, that's what you messed up. Prayer starts at 6. A lot of times, like I told you, the old timers said, people forget that prayer is an important part of service as well. So you need to pray. You know, you've been beat up all day working and rubbing shoulders and dealing with the adversary. So you need that time when you come in just to get along with you and God. And I don't want to just get along with you and God. You want God to enter the service. Whoever the preacher, the teacher is, you want God, you want to hear from God. So 6 o'clock is important, but you know, everybody works. Right? And everybody works when they get home at 3 o'clock, I can sleep to 7. No, I'm kidding. Everybody works. So you know, everybody can't make it at 6. But the service starts at 7 o'clock. Amen. So that's our Friday night Bible study. It's not going to be on Wednesday night because of all of the school activities and different programs that people are involved with. Fridays is always a challenge for everyone to get there. Amen. So does everyone have that? What night again?
Wednesday
night. And because of that, we don't have to wait until Jason and his people finish having service. You might have a mess with somebody. No, since we don't have to wait, really, I would prefer to start service at 10:30. But a lot of you all like an extra half hour of sleep. So on Sunday, Lord willing, we start service at 11 a.m. Amen. All right. So that we're all on the same page. Sunday service starts at what time? 11 a.m. And so our minister's class will be at 9:30 instead of 10. And medicine class at 9:30 instead of 10. How do you want to be busy for God?
Yeah.
We want to be busy for God. Amen. We didn't move up here just to say we have a church. But we moved up here because there's a fulfillment of our purpose in our lives, and we want to do that. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So once again, believe in God against all odds. And what I'm going to say, there's some medical miracles in our midst. I'm not talking about what we heard. We're talking about what we have seen and know. Amen. You know, some of our medical miracles go all the way back before we even, you know, begin our own ministry in church, because some of our miracles go back to when the doctors told some people that if you're diagnosed with cancer, you'll never have a child. Right? And if you have a child, this is what the doctor said, but how many know who's the great physician? The other physician forgot to check with the chief physician. And then, trust me, I will not knock doctors because they do an outstanding job. Amen? But God always has the final say. So the doctor said you wouldn't have a child, but how many of them, some of them have more than one, some have more than two, because of God. And they said, well, be careful, because if you have, they won't be healthy. Right? And I know a personal case. Can you say personal?
Personal.
Where the doctor told somebody, you need to abort that child because we did whatever that test is with the, yeah, that medical stuff, tests. And the umbilical fluid, though, right, said the baby's not going to be normal. So you ought to terminate or abort the baby. Stand up, Elijah. And very intelligent. Amen. Amen. So what I'm saying is, when we believe God against all odds, and what we live on Friday evening before we get into our message today, is there are many voices that are speaking. And some voices are louder than others. But which voice are we listening to? And it kind of ties into our message on this afternoon. Which voice are we listening to? Amen. Are we listening to the voice that appears to be the loudest and also the one that seems to be the most feasible? Or are we still listening to the voice of God? Remember Samuel? Samuel heard a voice. Right? Samuel heard a voice. But Samuel had problems because he did not yet fully know the Lord. So Daniel didn't realize, I mean, not Daniel, but Samuel did not realize who was calling.
Amen.
That's what we have to be real careful. Because sometimes God is calling and telling us to do something, and we go to the man. So God called Samuel, and Samuel ran to Eli. And Eli said, son, go lay down. I didn't call you. Have an ear to hear when God calls you. Jesus said, we ought to have an ear to hear what the Spirit said to you. We in the church, right? And then in Revelation, to the seven churches, he finished each one with, he that has. So we need an ear to hear from God for ourselves. So Eli said, go lay down, I didn't call you. And the Lord called the child again. We talk about having an ear to hear the voice of God. Amen? Because when God calls you to do something, you guys, you can be guaranteed the devil's going to have someone meet you on the way out the door to tell you why it can't be done. Hallelujah, but God. Finally, Eli perceived. Eli said, well, if this child has come to me this time and somebody's called him, and this is what we need to do. In our quandaries, in our indecisions, when we don't know what to do, we need to say, speak, speak, for thy servant. Now, a whole lot of us are asking God to speak, but we're not hearing. Now, that's the difference between listening and hearing. Right? You ever hear somebody say a whole lot, and then a little while later, say, did you hear me? Say, I heard you, but I didn't hear you. They were listening. But we're talking about hearing from God. Amen. You got to know. So let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 1 Kings chapter 19. We need the wrong chapter. That's 18. 19. And we're going to start verses 1 through 13. An ear to hear. And if you read the bulletin, I didn't like the front cover of the bulletin. When God steps in, what happens? Miracles happen. When God steps in, miracles happen. We should always ask God, just step in. Lord, if you need a miracle, ask him to step in. Hallelujah. And then when he steps in, hear his voice. Amen. I like what Jesus said. He said, my sheep, and the voice of a stranger, they will. A lot of us are following some voices, but it's not the voice of the shepherd, but it's the voice of the stranger. Amen. Verse 1, do we all have it? And for those that do not have it, it's where? Let us read. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow. He said, you got 24 hours, and you're going to be dead like my prophets. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for am I better than my fathers? And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a pool of water in his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth, and stand up on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entry of the end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you on this afternoon. We thank you for all that you've done. Lord, for today we can truly acknowledge it wasn't by might, nor by power, Lord, but it was by thy spirit that this great miracle has taken place. And Lord, we just want to say thank you. Lord, we bless your name. In the house of God, we ask you to speak. Lord, speak to every situation. Father, wise God, and you know the end from the beginning. And Lord, you know every need that exists within the congregation at this time. So Lord, our heart's desire is speak for thy servant here. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name, amen, and may be seated. And all of us are pretty familiar with the story of Elijah. Amen. And Ahab and Jezebel, who were two of the most wicked leaders ever, to guide God's people. Amen. And Jezebel really called the shots. Ahab just went along with what she did, but they were so wicked that Elijah pronounced judgment on them. And God, he said, you know, the thing that you've done to others is the way God's going to take you out. Basically, that's what it announced. Amen. They were so wicked. So in the 18th chapter, it gives the story of how all Israel, for the most part, were following after Ahab, Jezebel, the prophets of the rule, and the prophets of Baal. And they were leading them into gross idolatry. And as a result, the men of God went to the people of God and said, choose ye, not tomorrow. That's what, you know what God wants us to do? He don't want you to do anything tomorrow. He wants you to do it. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He said, if Baal be God, then. But if God be God, then. But this is when people don't have a made up mind. The scripture said, they asked me, yeah, not a word. Like, who's on the Lord's side? They wouldn't say a word. How many of us on the Lord's side? I said, how many of us are on the Lord's side? Yes. He said, they didn't answer a word. So they went through the whole thing and they said, let the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And how many know God answered by fire? And after that, the Bible said, Elijah said, pray. Now God had performed a great miracle because he had answered by fire. And at this point, they realized that God was God. But they didn't realize that God was God. It's going to tie in a little later. They didn't realize God was God because of faith and because of his word. They believed that God was God because of the extemporaneous, because of the great miracle that he performed. So their faith, when you do anything for God based on what you see, is very short-lived. When you make a stand for God based on what you see, and it's not from your heart, it is short-lived. And if you are saying, wow, God is God. Just read about Nebuchadnezzar. God performed this. He said, oh, he's God. And turn around. But it wasn't from the heart. Right? So because it wasn't from the heart, and children of God, everything we do for God, got to be from your heart. Can't be from anybody else's heart. You know, they could have said, well, the only reason that we are following Baal is because if we don't do it, Ahab and Jezebel are going to do this. If let the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And God answered, how many know he answered by fire? And they said, behold, the Lord, he is God. Then after God had done this, the Bible says Elijah prayed and said, Lord, send the rain. Right, this is 18. We're going to build up to verse chapter 19. Chapter 18. So he said, Lord, send the rain. And he sent the servant out after he prayed. You know what he did? He didn't just stand up and pray. He bent down and prayed with his head between his knees. I'm showing you now, God has given you a revelation of who he is. Now, after you realize that what you should have already known, now I'm going to show you how to get the deliverance that you also need. Right? So God shows the fire to show his power. Right? But then he uses the actual prayer to show his greatness. How many want to see his greatness? So we already know that he's God, but God said, I'm going to go further than that. So Elijah prayed and said, the first time he sent the servant out, the servant said, I don't see anything. But then He did it seven times. The seventh time, the servant came back. He didn't. Now, notice he didn't say, "I see a cloud," right? I didn't just see a cloud, because God was trying to show the people of Israel, as well as the other idolatrous people, who God was. So what kind of hand did he saw? He saw a cloud. I'm sorry about the size. Right? So God didn't make it vague. He said, "You know what? I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand." You know, so he said, "Well, Elijah said, then you seem right." He said, "Let us get down, because God is going to send the abundance of rain." Right? Now, with that said, let's just go to James chapter 5 for 1 minute, then we'll come back to this, and then we'll get our message. So God uses situations to get our attention. But then he expects for us to pray to get the greatness of God. Right? So Elijah did all of that, and they slew the prophets of Baal, but then he said, "I'm going to show you my greatness." Amen? I was going to read more, but let's go to verse 14 of James chapter 5. Actually, let's go to verse 13. Because we need complete deliverance. Isn't there a time of partial deliverance? Partial deliverance is you see what God does, but it didn't register down in your soul. So because the partial deliverance didn't get down where it needs to get, amen, you'll tend to walk away from God when the next trial comes your way. So what do you do when you have partial deliverance? Elijah showed us what to do when you have partial deliverance. He prayed because he did not yet have three. Amen? Verse 13 says, "And any among you, are you having tribulations? Are you having trials? Are you having tests?" Then he said, let him pray. And he said, "Call anybody." Amen. Then he said, "Shut yourself in, but let him pray. If any man, let him sing a song. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church." That was Sunday, right? Our bishop, I don't forget what we were. We had an apostolic conference down in Indiana, and Bishop Norwegian was preaching. And one of the bishops in the organization had went to the hospital for a routine surgery and died because something went wrong. And at that time, Bishop Wagner was the presiding bishop, and when they called him, they said, "Bishop such and such just died." He said, "What do you mean he died?" He said, "We didn't even know he was going in for surgery." All right, this is for some of y'all that keep going to the hospital. I'm trying to help y'all out. All right. I see some of y'all smiling. I don't know who I'm talking to, right? When you go somewhere, don't you depend on the medical field alone, right? Even if it could be a minor procedure, because it was a minor procedure, and the bishop's wife told Bishop Wagner, she said, "Well, it was just a minor procedure." She said, "I don't care what it is." She said, "Don't ever let a doctor, anybody else, touch you before you get some prayer. No charge." But he said, "Is any sick about you, let him?" And Bishop Wagner said, he told him, you know, this is God performed a miracle. He had to fly, I forgot how many hours, he got a private jet, and he went there. He said, "Don't move. Don't get him out of bed. Leave him in the room." He got his people praying, he got everybody praying, and he took his prayer team to the hospital where he was pronounced dead, and they prayed. And somebody said, "We're going to rest in the story." He'd been dead for so many hours, but God raised him from the dead. I believe the lesson in the whole situation is, don't you do anything before you get some. That's no charge. Right? Because things can go wrong, as we've had seen it all. So let him call for the end of the church, praying on him, and anointing him with all. And the prayer of shall save. Amen. The latter part of verse 16, the same chapter said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. You can't just mutter it out. when you pray. Amen. You know, I know as a kid we learned how to lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die, yes, you learn that too. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul. There ain't no fire, man. There ain't no fire in that one. All right? So you need to learn to get some effectual fervency in your prayer. That works for kids because you're training them. But how many know life? You gotta go beyond the training when things get desperate, amen? So it says, Elias was a man son to what? He was just a man. Excuse me, Elijah was just a man. He was just what you and I are. But he did what? And he prayed. He didn't just, now lay me down to sleep. Y'all know that one again? Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord. Oh, he knows that one? Okay, that's good. All right, y'all learn that until you get the fervency, all right? Yeah. But it says, Elijah prayed an earnest prayer. He didn't put on the showboat prayer. He prayed sincerely. And as a result of him praying and praying with some fervency and sincerity, the Bible says that the heavens were shut up for 3.5 years. That 3.5 year period was the same period that time. You know when you're going to write it. How many times we have? We had to do this before. Let's try it again. All right, this might do better. All right. You know when you're going to run direction, right? You got all these interruptions. They don't change anything. We still going forward. Amen. So he prayed. This 3.5 year period that he prayed that the heavens be shut up was the same period that he prayed that let the God that be God answer by fire. Then the next verse says, and he prayed again, and the Lord sent the rain. But he was a man just like us. He was no different. So what was the difference between Elijah getting a miracle and anyone else? It says, and he prayed earnest. And because of the way he prayed, God shut up the heavens. How long?
3.5 years.
That's a long time to shut up the heavens. But then he prayed again. And God sent rain. That brings us to the end of chapter 18 and to chapter 19. Amen? So God has moved miraculously. God has moved mightily. God has done what no man can do. And who did he use? Elijah. And as we are blessed, and as the church is blessed, you can be assured the devil is not happy. We have a responsibility and an accountability. So after you get a miracle, you're supposed to believe God for what? Anything. Before the miracle, this is when? Immediately after the miracle, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword, and Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the God do to me, and more also if I make not my life as the life of one of them by tomorrow. And what did he do? He got up and he rose. And as he was slain, if we get down to verse 6 and 7, it says that now Elijah thought he was going one place, but God had something else in mind. So he said, you know what? This journey is too great for you to go by yourself. So I'm going to send you some special food. Right? He said the angels, you know what the angels will feed you? Because when the angel feeds you, you can go on and strengthen that food for 40 days. A whole lot of that. eating some angel food. Amen. But verse 8 says, and he rose and did eat and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto, which is? He went to the same place that God had spoken to Moses on the backside of the desert. Amen. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And let's jump down to verse 13, the end of that says again, what doest thou here? What was that? Hold on a second. I can hear an extra noise. I think he messed me up. Hold on a second. All right, I think that's better. Oh, that's not. All right, I can do better now. That extra stuff messed me up. I mean, something's wrong. But he's gonna get in here some kind of way, right? I have to turn off something else. I can't. That just it bothers me. My wife's gonna say, "Just preach." I am. I didn't get the noise. Right. Yeah. All right, so. I don't mess up now. What is that? Amen. I know we don't believe in spirits. Amen. So God asked Elijah, he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? So our message this afternoon is, what are you doing here? Now, we're not talking about an objective here where there's a definite to it, but we're talking about a subjective here. Now, when you have a subjective here, that means you can put your own personal experience to that here. All right. And in that personal experience, we can decide wherever we are now. I'm not talking about where you've been. I'm not talking about where you're going. I'm talking about where are you at right now. Right? What are you doing here? We all have our own personal here that we can add to that. If you're not where God wants you to be, what are you doing here? If God has done something great for you, what are you doing here? Because God had done something great for Elijah, but Elijah was running. Through the miracle, through the greatness of God, Elijah was running. So God asked Elijah a question. He said, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Do you think God already knew? Yes. It's just like us. God already knows our situation, what we're going through, but he gives us a chance to answer for ourselves. So he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Right? But it's very important between verses 9 and 13, the events that take place. Because God is teaching Elijah a principle about faith. He's teaching Elijah a principle about hearing from God. Amen? So verse 10 said, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And if you read, I believe it's Acts chapter 7, they recount this same story, and the Lord tells Elijah in Acts chapter 7, he said, I have 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed down their knees to Baal. When you're going through something sometimes, you feel like you're all by yourself. You're running and ducking and hiding because you feel all alone. You don't understand what I'm going through. God said, Elijah, I have 7,000. You don't see them. You don't know them. They have not yet bowed down the knees to Baal. Amen? And he said unto him, verse 11, he said, go stand upon the mount before the Lord. Now, we got to pay particular attention to this. right? But say, well, what are you doing here? And Elijah gives him the response. So God said, now, I want you to go stand on the mountain before the Lord. But let's follow the rest of the sequence. Amen? He said, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in. A lot of times when we want to hear from God, we want God to do something real big. God, now we're teaching the principle because God asks us, what are you doing here? In the beginning. Then after he teaches him the principle, he asks him again, what are you doing here? Because Elijah was looking for God. He said, certainly if it's a wind, and it's, the wind is moving rocks, certainly God has to be in the wind. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Verse, the latter part of it, but the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, and so we need to hear from God. My situation, Lord, is deplorable, it's bad. But Lord, I got to see you do something real big. When I see you do something real big, then my faith will be increased. Amen. But the Lord was not in. The earthquake, everybody can feel this movement, right? You know, the earthquake ain't reserved to one person. So Elijah figured, hey, the Lord, definitely. Moving like this, God has to be in this. This moving everything around us. But the Lord was not. He wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, all of this you can see is extemporaneous, it's big, and certainly God has to be in it because it is big. Certainly God has to be in it because I can see it. God has to be in it because I can feel it. God has to be in it because it's moving everything around me. Hallelujah. But God was not in the big stuff. God wasn't in everything. God wasn't in walking by sight. But I heard the scripture say, the just shall live, and the just shall walk by faith. Amen. And then after the fire, Lord, give me an ear. Anybody need to have an ear to hear what the Lord is saying to you personally? God is in the wind. Do you see all God is doing? He wasn't in it. Well, certainly everything around us is shaking and moving. That has to be God. Can't nobody else move. Now, where's Elijah standing? Number one, now the God. Standing in God's presence. But he was looking for God the wrong way. God is moving. Elijah said, whoa, he's over here. I see him. God wasn't in that. And that's the problem with the church. We want to believe God after we see. The Lord, Thomas, when they told Thomas that the Lord had risen from the dead, I imagine Thomas had taken a chapter out of Elijah's book. Because Thomas said, except I see with my eyes and touch it with my hand, he said, I will not believe. And the Bible says one of the times when they were shut up for fear, the Lord came in the room with the door shut. Hallelujah. How many know you don't need to open no door for God? God will open a door for himself. Right, so they were in the room with the door shut. Lord, but God came in anyway. And God said, I can't deal with the ones that believe. And he went to him, he said, Thomas, see the hole in my hand. Thomas, see the hole. Any of y'all Thomases out there, you got to see it. Any Thomases out there, you got to see it before you believe. And he said, Thomas says, my Lord and my God. today. Too many Thomases. I believe Thomas should have taken that page out of Elijah's book. So he would not have been looking for God by sight and not by faith. So the scripture said God came, he didn't come in a big voice. How many of y'all look for God to speak to you in a big way? I know God is speaking to me when he does all of this. And the Lord said, I'm just going to come in a small, still voice. Can you hear me? I don't have to scream because I'm God. I'm just going to speak to you real soft. I'm not going to do anything big because I'm God. And all I want you to do is believe. But the world has trained us to think when something real big happens, before that real big thing happens, something else real big has happened. But not God. Amen. So he came to him in what kind of voice? Learn to hear from God. God, you don't have to speak loud. Just speak soft. Can I tell y'all about a rebuke I got the other night? You want to rebuke me, guys? You want to rebuke? This is a word of encouragement. Yes, because you and the guilty one. You know, Friday night, how many of you here Friday night? The church got real cold, right? I'm just saying, I just want to learn to listen. I want to learn when God speaks. Did the scripture say, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has he perfected? So we were leaving out the end of church. He's laughing. He know what he said to me. I said, boy, maybe I cannot. I said, I guess I got to call the heating guy in tomorrow or soon before Sunday. You know, because the church is cold and I can't figure out what to do. Now he said, I can't figure out. I said, I don't know. I said something. He said, well, Uncle David. I said, yeah, Miko. He said, Uncle David, remember the story that you told about the time that you worked on this big machine? He said, you and my dad worked on this big machine? I said, yeah, Rico, I remember that story. He said, remember what you said? I said, yeah. He said, you said you prayed. True, Miko?
Yeah.
True. So I got home, I said, you know what? I said, Miko, I said, you know what? I gotta listen to the voice. Right? So I said, I went home and told my wife, I said, you know, Miko told me something. I'm just selling myself. Right? He said, if God helped you with that, God can't help. What he really meant is this: how God helped you with that, can't help you with the church. So I listen to the voice. I listen to the voice and I pray. Anybody, Deacon Joe and I, he know we're down there looking at that. He said, man, what are all these controls? Right, Joe? He's like, what is it? I said, I don't know what that is. Matter of fact, Danny came in yesterday. He said, Pastor Dave, what you doing? I said, I don't know. Control here, control there, control that goes outside to control the air, control this, control that. I'm the truth. But I said, well, you know, Miko's right, I did pray. Right, so before I call anybody else in, Miko, I
pray.
Amen. And Elder Gill said, well, you gotta be careful because the young people are listening too. So I prayed. And as I prayed, we were standing there still. First, actually, you know, I did do something. I took the whole back cover off of the heater. I looked at that thing. I said, whoa. Put the heater back on and screwed it back up. Honestly, I'm telling you the truth. You know, because I'm saying we always look for God to move in a big way.
Yes.
But sometimes God can speak to us through a child.
Yes.
Right? Somebody said, well, he's not the Lord. What does he know? He know what he heard. And it must have struck a nerve of his faith to bring me back to my faith. None of us are too big to make a mistake. All right? And besides that, we want to see someone anyway. That's what he was thinking. I said, I don't want to have to give no extra time. I said, please bring out the cross. So I stood down there, and I don't know, a couple people said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to figure out the heat, but what I was doing was following his advice. I was standing by the heater,
praying.
And I opened up another thing. I was like, oh my God. Then I went up on the wall and Deacon George came and said, what you doing, Elder? I said, oh, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. So Danny said, Pastor Dave, why don't you let me call, I forget the guy's name. He said, he's a heating specialist. I said, yeah, give me a few minutes first. All right, because Miko told me to
pray.
He told me to pray. So I was standing there. I went to the front of the heating, went to the back of the heating, went to the side of the heating, I went upstairs. Then I looked at all those pipes and valves up there. I said, oh, I ain't touching none of that. This is way too much. I've touched stuff like that before, and you made the problem worse. Right? So I said, I ain't gonna touch that. So I stood at the side, the only side that didn't have nothing, because I wanted to be protected in case something went wrong. Got stuff shooting out the front, got stuff shooting out the back, and got stuff shooting out this side. So I wanted to be protected, so I stood on the only side. Somebody said, why are you standing over there? Ain't nothing over there. Ain't no switches, ain't no control, ain't no fire. It is shut up. Why are you standing there? And I'm standing there, and God showed me a little bit. God shows me a little valve. And the valve ain't nothing else there but this valve. It's the only little thing there is this valve. I see the valve, and the temperature in the valve is only 100 degrees. Right? But everybody knows that when you have hot water heat, it has to be between 180 up to 200 degrees. Can't go to 212 because then you get steam. Right? So I said, oh, okay. So I said, well, let me turn the temperature up. So we turned the temperature up and they heat in the church. So can we all thank you, know? We can all thank you, know? So I told them, I said, well, just save your brother's heat specialist for later. But what I'm saying is we have to learn to hear from God from ourselves. But then, verse 13, after I got, Thank you for the rebuke, Miko. Thank you very much. I'm so glad to know we listened in church. Amen. Verse 13. Now, verse 9, God could have done what he's going to do after verse 9. Why did God wait to verse 13? He could have done it after verse 9. Why did he wait to verse 13 after he showed Elijah? It's not in the greatness, it's not in what you can see, but it's a still small voice. In our lives, it's great to have mega ministries and all this, but are you hearing from God? It's great to go places and do different things, but are you hearing from God? A small, still voice. Now, I could have been like most adults when Miko told me that and said, mind your business. Right? But I learned through the years, because I was a child too, and God gave me special wisdom in situations, but the adults never listened to me. So, you know, if somebody tells me something in wisdom, can we say in wisdom? Bible says wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than money. A lot of times we just want, Wisdom said, consider what he said. We need every once in a while to consider what's being said. And then consider what's being said. What is that? Small. It ain't the big voice. Everybody can hear the what? Everybody can hear the big voice. But it was a, you know, that Elijah's way, just I'm going to give you another nugget for it, just for you to consider. Elijah is at the Mount of Horeb, right? And he's out there in a what? Cave. That cave, the real Hebrew translation was that he was in the cleft of the rock. He was standing in the same place where God told Moses, he said, you just hide yourself in the cleft of the rock. And when I pass by, we say thank you, Lord? Anybody want to see God's glory? Then you need to learn to hear that still, small voice. It's not in the wind, it's not in the earthquake, and it's not in the fire. A text. I said, you've been a friend for 40 years. I said, man, where are we at now? 40 years is a long time, isn't it? From 1975 to 2000, 40 years. But God has kept me. 40 years, God has made a way. And my wife knows, Scott, Sister Patricia Scott, I guess you can't be all informal up here. Right? Call it right, Sister Patricia. Man, Scott. I can't help it. I mean, that's got y'all to smile sometimes, right? But they met Scott, you know what Scott said? He said, God's gonna give you this place. You know, he said, I wanna see it. And he gave $1,000 donation. He said, I'm gonna give it. He said, because God's gonna give you this place. I said all of this to say, whatever your situation is, if you don't learn to hear from God, and you keep listening to all those voices that are speaking to you louder than God, you're delaying your blessing. Amen. When you listen to all those other voices, I don't care if it's your best friend, if it's this friend, if it's that friend, if it's a spouse, uncle, or cousin, or whatever, if their voice is louder than God, you're delaying your blessing. Because they're speaking loud. Yeah, they might have all the glamour, the fame, and all the other stuff, but God is speaking soft. But you can't hear God speak because you're listening real loud. One time I preached a message on having a spiritual hearing aid. Y'all hear about a spiritual hearing aid? Because when you put on that spiritual hearing aid, you can hear stuff that you... When you turn on your spiritual hearing aid, you will hear stuff that you normally hear. It's like having spiritual eyeglasses, right? Right, Jill? Before you could not see, but now you can. Because you got on some spiritual, what's that thing called? Contact lenses. Right? So he said, Grandpa, I can see. I got on some contact lenses. But our spiritual hearing aid will allow us to hear those real soft things that we don't normally hear. Because we can hear the loud when somebody's screaming and yelling. You ever go by someone who's partially lost their hearing and you hear how loud everything is? Because they can't hear that well. The church needs to put on their spiritual hearing aids because God is not speaking loud. God is speaking soft, just like he spoke to Elijah. But we keep listening. The principle of value, a lesson that God told Elijah between verses 9 and 13 is not in the big. It's just in the small. Elijah was looking at the what? But God spoke in the, if we would all make an assessment of our spiritual lives, where we are in there. How many of us have been looking for God to speak in the? But God has always been speaking. And you know what the Bible said? As long as your life is in harmony with God, every time you pray, God hears you. Because his ear is open to the. If you live right and do right, God's ears are open to your prayers. And God always sends an answer. But you've got to have an ear to hear from God. Now, when God is moving you in a certain direction, you're always going to get resistance. Say, I know what God says, but why am I getting this resistance? The Bible says that when all of Israel were afraid to go out and fight a Goliath, David said, I'll go. And time David, because he knew what God had shown and done for him, because David knew what God could do. The very first one to tear him up and try to tear him down was family. So when you're trying to do for God, the devil says, no, I can't go. If I go to people they don't really consider, they're not going to listen. So say, I'm going to get his brothers to go get him. No, because the devil didn't want David to win. So he said, I'm going to go to his family and get them to talk about it. Right? So when the family can talk about it, he said, well, then the last hope in talking him out of doing what God told him, he knew God wanted him to do. He said, let me go to somebody in authority. Let me go to the highest authority in the land besides the man of God, who was King Saul. King Saul said, wait a minute. You can't go against this giant. How many got some giants? A giant is something way too big for you. But then, can we say authority? If it ain't through God, it ain't nothing. Because Jesus said, without me, the authority said, you're not able to go against him. Because you are a child. And he's been a man of war from his youth. He said, you have no ability to go against this giant. We got some giants in our lives. But he said, you know, all of that you're telling me is true, but I'm going in the name of the Lord. Because if I go in the name of the Lord, God has given me the assurance that he'll back me up. So I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to go in the name of the Lord. So he said, okay, if you're going to go and you're going to fight this giant, I'm talking about the church. Can somebody say the church? When authority said, you're going to fight this giant, you got to use my warfare. So here's my helmet, my shield, and all this stuff. And he said, if you're going to fight, you can't go like you want to go. You got to go like I want you to go. Can somebody say the authority? They'll mess you up. Because that's not what God had told them to do. So after they put all this stuff on David, David said, I can't use this. If I go out and win with this, then it wasn't the name. Do you understand? If I use the conventional weaponry and I win, then it didn't happen because of the name of the Lord. He said, but I'm going in the what? So I just choose to put off all this other stuff. And then when the giant, how do you know you got to run at your giants? A lot of us are running from, but you got to run. And as he was running at this giant, what's the first thing the giant do? Send him a lot of wolf tickets, trying to scare him. But he knew he was going in the
name of the Lord.
If you do anything in the name of the Lord, even if you mess up, the word of God says that God will take the crooked thing and make it straight. When you go in the name of the Lord, even when it's a rough ground, God will make it smooth. Go in what? Don't go in my name. My name ain't got no power. I heard Jesus say, oh, I think they had over 500,000 scared. He said, wait a minute. y'all send me a child with a stick? The name of the Lord is not the problem before you, it's the power. It's not what's before you, it's what's behind. Didn't the scripture say, the Lord said, if I be lift the Lord, if I be for you, lift them up after you for. He said, if God be for you, who then? Don't mean they won't try. Amen. But it says that somebody say part two, right? Amen. But you know what David said? David said, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. So even though Elijah, listen, they all tried to talk David out of doing what he knew God wanted him to do. Don't you, if you know you have a vision or a call from God, sometimes we can run ahead of the vision, sometimes we can lay behind it. But if your heart is right, God will get you right back on track. Hear from God. Don't allow anybody to talk to you out. Not a family member, right? Not the king, and most of all, not even your adversary, as we all stand. What are you doing here? What's the end of here is subjective. What makes that here subjective is every last one of us can fill in that here for our personal situation. What are you doing here that you are so far away from God? And God has been so good to you. God has performed miracle after miracle after miracle. Elijah, after all God has done, what are you doing here? After God has made so many ways and performed great miracles in your life, what are you doing? We can all fill in that here for ourselves. It's so important today, no matter what, when we leave, say, Lord, I just want to have an ear. Anyone want to have an ear? Just to what? Hear what the Lord says unto him again. Hallelujah. Just an ear to hear. And it, what kind of voice? Small, steel. You know what? It said God didn't even do it in a big way. He was just a steel voice. Hallelujah.